I don't know what you've heard about Cheech, but he's with us, Sweet Spot 1 to 3. Been on vacation the past 12 weeks. It's the afternoon J-U-B. I don't know what you've heard about Cheech, but he's with us, Sweet Spot 1 to 3. Some say that he killed Ozzy.
Oh,
it's the
God.
Afternoon J-U-B.
Oh, man.
Well, it is 2:37 on
we
the Sweet Spot.
We actually recorded this one last week. I don't know how. What a coincidence.
And you heard the intro, the new intro. It is time for some afternoon jub live from the tennis courts in beautiful Oxnard, California.
Oxnard is what we're calling it now.
And, Ham, we got a sponsor?
Globe Life.
Okay. Thank you, Globe Life. And thank you, Ticket Team and Afternoon Jub. Carve a little moment out of your day to hang out with the Sweet Spot in person. Hi, John.
Oh, yeah. Hey, guys. Yeah, I heard what you said just a moment ago, Sean, and I think you're right. And I think we noticed this maybe a little bit last year and the year before. Has the shine of the Cowboys and Oxnard or Oxnard worn off?
Oxnard today.
Oxnard,
right.
Okay. Has it worn off just a little bit on the locals?
So,
because there's nobody out there.
Is it usually bumping on day one? Because I'm trying to remember the first day out here, our first, it was more buzzing, for sure.
There was a longer line
last
to
year,
get in. Today there wasn't that much of a line when we got here.
Nobody no. when we got here a couple hours ago.
I imagine the only real big crowd they'll have will be Saturday. That's the big opening ceremonies, and the cheerleaders will be here. But outside of that, I think you'll see a lot more of what you see today, which is, okay, so how long have they been charging for parking?
Couple of years, probably, right?
That's kind of new. It almost, if it has been a couple of years since the attendance started to drop off, maybe that matches up a little bit.
And it was 2 or 3 years ago when they built those the bleachers on the other side by the houses, and the people that own them got really mad.
Yeah.
They're trying to Airbnb out their stuff.
Yeah. And now nobody's sitting over there.
View.
It's just empty bleachers.
We were talking about this the other day. It is pretty impressive what they have now built around these two practice fields. Double-decker suites, and they're temporary structures that, like you would see at a golf tournament, behind the 18th green. But they've got, I mean, I don't know, the equivalent of 3 or 4, you know, greens of bleachers now.
I wonder how much work that is to get everything here. Because I saw pictures of, like, Google Maps pictures of this, and it looks nothing like it the rest of the year. Because, the temporary bleachers aren't here. It's just a tennis court, and it's an open field.
Yeah.
And that's it. Like, you wouldn't think that the Cowboys train here.
Yeah, and that's what it was. The first time I was here was a long time ago. And the Cowboys actually came to this practice facility because it used to belong to the Raiders. Mm. This is where the Raiders used to train in the late 80s. And that's all that was out there. It was the hotel, and then, I don't know, maybe they had something over here for the players, a weight room or something, and then this, the two fields, and there were no bleachers or anything.
Well, this place has grown up, George, and Spalding and non-Spalding have also grown up. And we just saw them out on the practice field, and Spalding is wearing his white bucket hat because he's in full scout mode.
That, and he's trying to
play
find
the next,
name of Spalding.
Trying
I
to
guess.
Find the next CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah. It was at Nobu was, 2 years ago.
Yeah. We're like, who'd you discover? He goes, yeah, CeeDee Lamb. It's my guy.
It's his guy.
Just looked at the stats.
Oh, man.
He's the best receiver
the
in college football.
Next generation of someone meddling with the football ops. But I guess if he's been in it since college, by then he'll...
He's going to run the team
he'll
someday.
He'll know what he's talking about.
Sure.
Maybe? Yeah.
Got to be optimistic.
You're around it every day.
Another thing we're talking about on the field, because it's a beautiful day. It's a little warm for Oxnard, but the sun's out. How miserable was Wichita Falls?
It was brutal.
I can't just... 105 degrees every day.
It had the smell of grass burning every day. It just had that smell to it. And we would go out and watch practice, and it would be 102 or 103. And they moved there in the late 90s. Mm-hmm. So after they started to fall off, the last couple of years of Barry, I do believe Barry had at least 1 year up there, Chan Gailey, and then
Campo.
A Campo year or two before they started going to San Antonio. But, yeah, it was miserable. But I do remember, as hot as it was, that people in Wichita Falls were fired up about it. There were, at least for the first couple of years, I remember decent crowds out there.
Would you do the shows from outside? Like their version of the tennis courts?
Yes. We were just right off the practice field, and I guess we had a tent. And in the morning, it wasn't too bad.
Still like 90.
But by 10, yeah, it would get pretty dang hot by the end of that thing.
Hey, there's Corby.
Hi, Corby.
So Snake. I would like to join in on Wichita Falls talk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was beyond horrific. Like, it was... But I don't think we knew any better.
I'm sure Mike and Greg loved it.
Oh, God. God.
Get a sweat in, brother.
But I do remember that there were only two places to go at night. There was one bar that everyone went to in Wichita Falls. And then there was like a club that
we
went
to.
Union
Station?
Yeah, yeah. And
like
we went to it one night, and like all the Cowboy coaches. This is in the Campo run.
Yeah.
I think he was the head. Were they still
there?
Could
have been Chan. Because it was late 90s and maybe only a year of Campo.
But they had this like, this club had these cages where these go-go dancers would dance. And all of a sudden we look up.
Campo just jumps in there.
And Campo is in there with one of those girls dancing.
Yeah.
Grind it, baby, grind it.
It was so weird.
Oh, George.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Oh, my
March.
Aching balls. I know. I love you.
Boy, those were some dark years.
I didn't know Marge was a cage dancer.
I was. 3 straight years of 5 and 11.
Well, it's afternoon, George, here on the Sweet Spot. And I do want to be topical. And I know you're a big Red Dirt guy. I know your family raised you on rock and roll. Where did you land on the Blizzard of Oz who passed away today?
Ozzy
Osbourne.
He was obviously huge, but I was not... May he rest in peace. Not a huge fan. I thought his voice was cool, but I was. I mean, this is a tough day for Cat. I mean, my gosh.
Yeah.
And I never saw him live. Introduce I guess I probably him. Should have. Isn't it funny how you associate things with someone? With him, I think I was working at the Texas State Network when he bit the head off the bat in San Antonio. I remember that was just a huge story. It's like a. This guy is out of control and the devil himself, and I thought he was kind of funny.
What a sales job, too.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that we all grew up thinking that he basically every day committed his entire life to worshiping Satan is so stupid.
The bat happened in Iowa.
Was that in Iowa?
Yeah, the Alamo.
He peed on the Alamo.
He urination?
He went
okay.
TT, yes.
Okay,
because we were talking about that earlier, the... Moment that people remember the most, is it the bat or is it the Alamo?
The bat.
The bat.
I
but
think
see,
so, too.
The bat so much that I had him doing that in San Antonio. But that's right. He peed on the Alamo?
Right.
On the Alamo grounds or
and
something.
We all learned that he did that in honor of Satan.
Mm-hmm. That's what y'all heard in school?
Yeah. He had enough to make a pentagram on the ground?
Yeah. Everything he did was in honor of Satan.
Hey, nobody pees on the Alamo.
Or our parents told us that. You know why he pee-peed on that Alamo, don't you?
So, George,
he's called by Satan.
Did your older siblings steer into that? And was that a cause of concern for mom and dad?
There's no way I could have explained Ozzy Osbourne to my parents. I had a hard enough time explaining the Rolling Stones to them or the Beatles. Yeah, they only heard a little bit of Judas Priest when I would play that on the family stereo. that was pretty much the end of the world, too. What's the matter, Gordon?
Nothing.
Okay.
Gordon.
Go on.
Where's Gordon?
Yeah, where is he at? Go on, Gordon. But no, I don't think I would have been able to explain Ozzy. And I think that was one of the concerts. I used to usher concerts at Reunion Arena.
Yeah.
And I think that was one of the ones I was forbidden from ushering.
How did the Satanic Panic stuff start? With Kiss and Ozzy.
The what?
The
Episode
Cat.
Introduce me.
Pop on here, Kat.
The PMRC. Remember, they created that thing during the Reagan years, and I forgot it was maybe was someone's wife.
No, it was during the Clinton years, and it was Tipper Gore.
This was before that. It was in the 80s. Reagan had the same thing. It may not have been the PMRC, but there was a big group headed by someone's mother that started looking into all this stuff.
I've read the lyrics.
Yeah. And they, our parents were 100% convinced.
That it was the work of Satan.
Yes. And that we were all turning into Satan worshipers if we would listen to that.
So they thought Ozzy Osbourne was a vessel from Satan to spread
his
word.
These are obviously religious fundamentalists.
Right.
And then what happened in the 80s is a couple of these bands, Judas Priest being one, Ozzy was another one, and there was one more. They got drug into court because kids had committed suicide, apparently, quote-unquote, listening to these records or listening to the records backwards for backwards masking, which is all kind of BS, and we know that now. But then that's also what brought it to the forefront, is these people, they've lost a child, and they're looking for a reason, something to blame, and you latch onto this kind of thing.
And that was, Marilyn Manson was that guy for us in high school.
And before that, in the 90s, too, the West Memphis Three, the three guys that were arrested in West Memphis, Johnny Depp was a big thing with them. But they all liked Metallica, and they wore black Metallica t-shirts, and there was no, they were arrested, charged with murder, were convicted, and there was really no evidence against them at all other than they liked to listen to Metallica music.
Yeah.
It was,
you know, back to the ushering days, so I lobbied with my parents to usher AC/DC at Reunion Arena, and my aunt, who was really pretty hip and cool, was in town. I thought, oh, she'll support me. And she said, yes, I think you're making the right decision by not letting him go to see AC/DC. You know what that means, don't you? And I was like, oh, no, what is she going to say? They go both ways.
They're bisexual.
I guess I won't do it. That's fine.
They do a devil's three-way.
Yes, they do.
Well, rest in peace, Ozzy.
Yeah.
Impressive that he made it to 76, don't you think?
Good run. Yes. Yeah. When he was doing the Osbournes, to think that he would make it 25 years past that.
He was in his early 50s.
I know.
Like 52 years old doing that.
I know. And he looked like he was 80, trying to open a DVD.
DVD.
Sure.
I vote him in. What do you guys say?
Yeah, I say
Are we doing that?
Yeah. Oh, wait.
Oh. Might be later today.
Later today. All right, that is some afternoon Jubb and afternoon Corby and Kat and Gordon
thanks,
and everybody
sweet
else.
Spot.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. Let's do this again next week.
Let's do it.
It's 249.
Danny Glover, too. Happy birthday.
Oh, yeah.
Not dead, but happy birthday.
We missed Gone Fishing. We'll do that next week.
All right,
Why Today Doesn't Suck is next.